So I want to just spell out briefly some of the implications of this for our individual practice. But the first one is maybe an obvious one. It's an extremely affirming view of human nature. Right? It's an extremely optimistic view of human nature. In the metaphor of the king born to the impoverished woman, the sutra says, "Do not consider yourself inferior. Your bodies contain the light of the world's salvation." So the basic view of the human being from the Tathagatagarbha Sutra is that you don't consider yourself inferior. Your bodies contain the light of the world's salvation. Now, first, the main point I want to make here is that our views affect what we do. What we think affects how we live. Right, there's a little cartoon that I saw in the New Yorker. And it's these like two little lines of what look like rats, like little furry animals. This line of 2x2 furry animals come to a cliff edge and then they ascend into the sky. And the caption to the cartoon says, "What lemmings believe." The ideas that we have affect what we choose to do, right? There's some discussion that the Tathagatagarbha Sutra arose in India at a time when part of the discussion in the Buddhist tradition was, can everybody attain enlightenment? And part of that background, apparently, was the background of caste society, which was starting to stratify human beings and regard some human beings as very, very inferior, indeed to the point where the language is that they were untouchable. So an incredible reflection back at you to think, well, this is your potential, actually this is what you're like as a human being. There's some argument that the Tathagatagarbha Sutra comes into that context and it's saying every human being has the potential to be a Buddha. That this is the cultural context that it emerged from, there's some suggestion. And I think we're not always obvious, not always aware of how we're reflected back at ourselves. But on the whole, our experience of ourselves, I would like to suggest, is not that our bodies contain the light of the world's salvation. Like, I think we live in a nihilistic culture. We live in a culture that in a sense, the most desirable experience it can articulate is pleasure. And I don't know how you feel, but going through your day on the whole, the quality of what's being reflected back by your own lived experience, I would suggest, is something less than this expression of Buddha nature. How we see ourselves affects what we choose to do and affects how we act. And I think this is the meaning in the Buddhist tradition of this idea of listening, reflecting, and meditating. What's being said is, if you take on an idea, it directs your attention to certain qualities of your experience. So the idea that you have potential directs your attention to those qualities in your own mind that seem to express that potential. And to begin with, it's going to be incremental. It's going to be very, very marginal, but it happens. And on the basis of that slightly clarified experience, your understanding of what the idea is deepens. And out of that deeper, clearer idea, it feeds back into your lived experience. You start to see more of the implications, which feeds back into the depth of your understanding of the idea. So you start to get a feedback between the listening to the concept, the reflecting on the nature of the concept, the meaning of the concept, and that feeding out into lived moment-to-moment experience. You create a, as it were, a sort of virtual circle, or a virtuous circle, that's the word I'm looking for, isn't it? There's a relationship between the ideas that we have and what we choose to do. So one thing that this approach is trying to say is you practice because you've got the potential to practice. That anything short of that actually isn't doing justice to your own deepest nature. That's why you practice. that a lot of your experience is difficult, a lot of your experience is painful, but what you're looking at is a Buddha wrapped in rags, fundamentally. Bhante says somewhere that the task of Buddhism is not to teach any particular formulation, but it's to point out to people their own nature and their own potential. So what this is trying to push us towards is the most generous possible glimpse of what our own potential is.